Excited. I always laugh when we see the tribe guys go out because it's just like, whoa, can we fit that many in there? But somehow we do. And another reason why we're praying and believing for Next Door, and we're going to get Next Door built because we're going to need all the room that we can get for what the Lord is going to do. Can we pray this morning? Just want to pray, just gather our hearts as we come around the Word. Lord, I thank you this morning for your presence. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you would captivate and grab our hearts. And as John said, that we would go out different from the way that we came in. We wouldn't go out the same. Lord, I pray this morning you would come and do what only you can do because you are a good, good Father. I pray this morning, encourage us, lead us forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week what we talked about was we talked about worship. We said that we need to worship because we need to do it. God doesn't need our worship, but we need to worship him because he's the only one who's worthy of our worship. And what I've learned, and hopefully what you're learning and what you have learned is this, is that as you worship God, it changes you. As you worship God, it changes you. Every time I get into God's presence, he always changes me. Now, I can go in one way. I said before, I've went in with pride. I've went in with anger. I've went in with revenge. Imagine all of those things. And God has pruned me, and he has knocked a few bits out of me, and he said, that's not the way you should go. That is not who you are. I'm going to call you to greater things. Worship changes you. And every time we get into worship, we should expect the change. If you go into worship every time and resist all the change, well, God needs to talk to you further because he wants to change you in worship. He wants to shape you. He wants to mold you. He wants to refine you because, unfortunately, maybe this is news to you, but there are things that need to change in your life. Hopefully that is not news. And then you can allow God to shape you and mold you. And why God is so good and because worshiping him is so great is because his love is unconditional towards us. His love is so good towards us. He is not a taskmaster that is expecting too much. He is not a person that will leave us or be abandon us one moment and be for us the next. He is a person that is always with us. And so sometimes we do feel a bit of pain because pain is normal as we're being stretched and we're being, encouraged and maybe even disciplined. And sometimes we may feel a bit of correction, but a loving Father always corrects. Bible talks about conviction. Sometimes when we get into worship, we feel convicted. We're like, wow, the way I've been living, I need to change some things. Wow, the things I've been saying, the thoughts that I've been having, the ways that I've been going, as we get into worship, the Lord convicts us and he changes us. And so be ready for those things. Be open to those things. Those are normal, everyday things that we want to expect and embrace and allow the Lord to change us. But last week we talked about worship. This morning we're going to continue to talk about worship. And I want to talk about worship in the aspect of surrender. I believe that fundamentally from beginning to the end, the Lord is trying to grab our hearts and he said, hey, you're designed to worship, but your worship looks like surrender. When we come to a place and we worship God from a heart of surrender because we realize there's just nothing I can offer him. I realize there's just no way. If it was a battle, there's just no way I can beat him because he's invincible. He's undefeated. He can never be defeated. So part of our worship is that we come and we surrender all that we have. Here's what Romans 12, we're going to look at this one together. Romans 12, verse 1, it's a verse that we've looked at many times in the last few months, but God just keeps highlighting it. But what I love about the Word of God is so rich and so deep. There's always more that he wants to show us. And for the theme this morning, there's more that he wants to show us. Here's what it says, therefore, I urge you. Everybody think urge. The writer is trying to get our attention. He's trying to urge us to do something. He's trying to overwhelm us. He's trying to say, hey, I need to grab your attention. I urge you, brothers and sisters. And anytime we see that, or maybe your version might say brethren, but anytime we see that, the writer is referring to Christians. He's saying, I want to grab your attention as Christians. There's something I want to remind you about. There's something important I want to bring to your attention. In view, everybody think view because God's changed our view. In view of God's mercy to offer, think about offer. There's an offer that we have to do. You offer your body as a living sacrifice. Everybody think living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Everybody think worship. And the Lord is trying to hit some various different things in that verse, but the heart of the verse is this, is that we would offer our lives as living sacrifices. That would be our true and proper worship. In other words, we would surrender our lives, and that would be our true and proper worship. The Lord is trying to reveal to us that surrender and worship, they're part together. They are friends. When we come to worship the Lord, surrender is a natural expression of our heart. Surrender is a natural emotion of our mind that we're giving away. Lord, I just want to surrender to you afresh. That's a normal thing. And I know in our lives we're taught, you know, keep going, independence, we're going to make it, we're going to fight through, I'm not giving up for anything. We're not really saying we give up to the Lord. We're saying, Lord, you take over because you're just so much greater than me. You're so much better than me. And because we know he's such a good God, and because we know he has far greater plans and far greater ideas for our lives, we willingly surrender our lives to him. Think back to the Old Testament. Day after day, we would make mistakes because day after day, we make mistakes at the moment. We know this. We sin. We let God down. We do things we're not proud of. We have to ask for forgiveness. We repent and say, Lord, forgive me. But back in the Old Testament, we couldn't have the same relationship with God because the covenant wasn't there. Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet. Sin hadn't been destroyed yet. And so what they had to do was they had to offer sacrifices. And so they weren't offering living sacrifices in terms of themselves, but what they would do is they would offer animal sacrifices to be able to shed blood to cover their sins so that the Lord would be pleased with them and the Lord would forgive them. But it was a never-ending, relentless cycle of I would make mistakes, I would get up in the morning, I would think something silly, I would do something silly, I would say something silly, oh my goodness, there's sin in my life again, I will have to go back to sacrifice. But when Jesus came, he changed everything because he went to the cross, defeated sin, and he became a living sacrifice. You see, this morning the Lord is trying to grab our attention. He's saying, just like me, I want you to be just like me. Just like the way I laid down my life, I want you to surrender your life too. And as you do, watch how as Jesus laid his life down, he didn't go for disaster. He went through some pain, but the Lord elevated him. He lifted him up to glory. And the Lord says the same for us as Christians, as believers. As we lay our lives down to him, he lifts us up because he's such a good God. And so as Christians this morning, we've got to see that our lifestyle, our worship, part of it is surrender. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice that leads us to true and proper worship. And maybe God even wants to grab our attention with this, is that we can surrender in a part, but God says, what about total surrender? What if you totally surrendered your life to me? That would lead to true and proper worship. The Lord's trying to grab our attention. He's saying this, that the more we surrender, the more it enables us to worship him in spirit and in truth. The more that we lay down our lives, the more it allows us to worship the Lord with all that he deserves. The more it allows us to worship him with everything that we've got because we're laying down our old selves. We're laying down the stuff in us that's just no good. And we're saying, Lord, I surrender my life afresh to you. We know that when we came to Jesus, we ultimately surrendered our lives to him. But unfortunately, what we do is we tend to take up our lives again or take up some old habits again or continue to walk on in the ways that we did before. And the Lord says, just keep surrendering your life day after day. Salvation, once for all. It's done. It's a one-time thing. You ask the Lord into your heart and he forgives you. That is incredible. But day after day, the Lord is saying, part of your worship is surrender. Just keep moving closer and closer to me. As you do in worship, you'll do it through surrender. I want us to think right back to Genesis. Genesis 20 and around Genesis 22. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? This guy who had waited all of his life for a child. This guy who God had come to and said, Abraham, you're going to have descendants as the stars in the sky. You're going to do incredible. Your kids are going to be descendants for the nations. You're just going to be a father. In fact, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and he said, you'll be an exalted father. You're going to be a father for the nations. And of course, Abraham couldn't figure this out. Abraham couldn't figure this one out because he was old, and he was getting older by the minute. Thankfully, Nikki's young. She's going to have a baby soon. But Sarah was not young. They were hitting it old. They were getting to 100 odd, and then suddenly Isaac's born. And their dreams are fulfilled, and they're like, wow, God, this is amazing. But still in their mind, they're going, this is one son. How are we going to flood the nations? How are we going to transform the nations? How am I going to be the father of many nations? And then one day, the Lord speaks to Abraham, and he asks the most incredible thing. And I wanted to grab our attention this morning. Look at this. Genesis 22, verse 2. Then God said, wow, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, Mount Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Now, we have read this scripture many times. You've probably read it many times. We've probably moved past it many times. But let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes this morning. I mean, is it not bad enough that, I mean, you would have to offer your son, but when we know the context of how long he waited, how it's a promise, it's a fulfillment of God in his life to have this son, and then suddenly God comes in one day, says, take your son, your only son, son whom you love, and sacrifice him. This is colossal. This is like beyond comprehension in some ways, because you're like, wow, God, is this really what you're asking me to do? But what the Lord knew about Abraham's life was that he needed to reveal to him surrender was part of his worship. Because as he would go forward in his life to be the man that God called him to do, he knew that he would have to be a man who would be able to surrender everything to the Lord. Now, if you know the end of the story, you know that the Lord provided a ram in the thorns and Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son. But Abraham came to a place where he was ready to do it, because he got to the place where the Lord wants to get all of us to. But we recognize if we have surrendered to him, then we have nothing. So we give him everything. And we say, Lord, with my life, I will honor you. With my life, I will worship you. And if that is surrender, then so be it, because you're worthy of it all. And you know better than me. And Abraham came to an important place that we all need to get to, that surrender is vital for us as Christians as we would follow after God. If we don't do that, then we get to so close, but no further. We get to move this far, but no further after that. The Lord says we have to be willing to surrender everything, even your son whom you love. And remember, this is exactly what God did for us. He sacrificed his son, his only son, the one that he loved. The Lord says this morning, I'm thankful I don't have to ask you to sacrifice your son, but I want you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice. This is part of your reasonable service. Another translation says that. True and proper worship, or another translation, reasonable service. God thinks it's a reasonable service for us to surrender everything to him. And this morning we're going to go on a journey to see why this is so good and why it's so much better than you think. And it's not taken away. It's actually more and more and more, because it's the way that God has designed us to live. Look what Abraham did in verse 6. Let's read this one. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Oh my, he's prepared to do this thing. And he himself carried the fire and the knife, and as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, imagine getting a question like this. Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Wow. The Lord was able to spare Isaac, but the Lord wasn't able to spare his son, Jesus. Incredible what the Lord has done for us. Incredible that he would spare nothing for us because of his love towards us, because he wanted to destroy sin in every form so that we could come back to a place where we could worship the Lord freely. And the Lord has given us access this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Lord has given us access this morning to worship him with everything that we've got. And he says, will you lay down your life in the same way as I laid down my life? This is part of your worship. This is part of who you are. This is what I've called you to be. Don't think it's a negative. Remember, I will show you how it's such a good thing. I want to think about three quick things this morning just about Abraham before we move on. I'm sure this wasn't easy for him. Surrender is never easy. Let's remind ourselves of that this morning. Surrender is never easy. If you are surrendering your life to God at the moment, or there's things in your life that you feel you need to surrender to him, it is not easy. We don't normally want to give up anything. We don't normally like to surrender. Surrender is not a nice thing in itself. We're like, no. I want to keep this thing. I want to do that thing. I want to just keep doing this. I want to keep doing that. I'm sure it wasn't easy. Second thing, it took probably all the faith that he had to do what Abraham was prepared to do. I don't know if he was going to pull out at the end, but I think he was prepared to go all the way because he recognized what the Lord was asking him, and he recognized how good God was, and he just trusted him without a shadow of a doubt. He completely surrendered everything to him. And when we surrender everything to God, what we're doing is we're simply saying, I trust you, Lord, with everything of me. I've got nothing anyway, but I want to give it all to you. And you take whatever I've got, and Lord, you multiply it, and you increase it, and you do it. And the Lord is here this morning. He wants to remind us how incredible surrender is. Abraham surrendered everything. To truly worship God, we have to surrender our whole lives. We read it earlier. It said in Romans 12, it said, in view of God's mercies. I think one of the amazing things that as Christians this morning, what God has done is he's given us another view. He's given us a new way to see. Because this kind of stuff that we're talking about this morning, imagine if you weren't a Christian and you were required to do this. We were like, God seems really selfish. God, has he not got enough things? Why does he need more of me? I mean, this is just a really selfish God. And yet us as believers this morning, or if you're not, then hold fire. Watch, because God's going to continue to speak to you. But if you're a believer this morning, then you know God has changed your view. The way that you used to see before was full of selfishness. It was full of me, and it's like, what am I going to do? And I've got all these desires for my life, and I've got plans, and I've got purposes, and I've got this, and I've got that. And we would fight tooth and nail to keep them. And we'd fight anybody else that got in the way of them, because you'd be like, I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. This is what we're taught to do. If you want to achieve anything, you're gonna have to move some people. You're gonna have to, you know, move a few hearts, offend a few people. It's all part of the course. It doesn't matter. You got to get where you got to get. But as Christians, we know our view has changed, and we recognize that as we lay down our lives, just as Jesus did, He lifts us up. And His desires, and His plans, and His dreams, and His vision for our lives, so much greater. The plans that He's got for us, the ways that He wants to transform us, so much greater. We can surrender our lives to God in the first instance and ask the Holy Spirit to come and live in our hearts, repent, you know, salvation comes to our lives, and then just try to continue on the way that we've always lived. And God is so gracious, He works with us. But we miss out on all the more that He's got. And if we want to step into all the more that He has, it comes in the form of surrender. It comes in worshiping God in the form of surrender. It's not natural, it's supernatural. But God says, this is the way I go. This is the way I've called you to go. Galatians 2:20, can we read this one together? This is what happened to us as we got saved. As we asked the Lord into our hearts, this was God's plan for us. I think we got it, Peter, have we? There we go. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. This is the old self. It's been crucified. Our old self is dead. We surrendered everything to God, and now we're dead with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. See, here's the thing, and here's the conundrum of the whole thing. We can get saved, surrender at the cross, and then we can continue on to live like we used to always live, and then wonder why life is just not maneuvering and moving the way that we hoped and planned, because we actually don't live anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. So the only way to truly live is to surrender. I hope that's a relief this morning. You don't have to live anymore. The Lord's going to live through you. Christ is going to live through you spiritually. And it's going to transform you. It's going to change you. That just is a big relief for me. I give a big sigh of that every morning when I get up and think, oh my goodness, how am I going to make it through the day? And then I realize Christ lives in me. It's His hope that's sustaining me. It's Christ's power that's working through me. It's not me that lives. It's not I who lives, but it's Christ living through me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The more that we read, the more that we think, the more that the Lord touches our heart, the more that we realize surrender is just amazing. Because it allows the Lord to work through us. It allows the Lord to change us. It allows Him to transform us. But here's what I find. We get saved. We realize surrender because we realize our need of God. We realize that we're sinners. We can never get around this thing. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be good enough. And so we surrender to Him. And then when we surrender our lives to Him, then God comes and we get reborn. We receive resurrection power in us. And we go from death to life, because that's what happens. We go from dead in our sins to alive in Christ. And then we give it all up. We sacrifice. Because there's a sacrifice that's taken place in our lives. We've had to sacrifice some things. We've had to make some changes. And we all get that. Those of us who are saved. And if we're not saved this morning, then that's what we got to get. We got to realize we'll never be good enough. And that His salvation alone is the only thing that's going to save us. But then this weird thing tends to happen. And maybe it's happened to you. Because it's definitely happened to me sometimes, where I go, okay, I've surrendered everything, and then afterwards I go to myself, well, if I just read, if I just pray, and I go to church for 1 hour on a Sunday, everything's going to be okay. You ever feel like that sometimes? Man, it just seems easier that way. Because remember, surrender's not easy. It's not easy to surrender to God. It's not easy to live every day. But the more that we do, the easier actually it will be as we surrender to God, because He will live through us. But sometimes we get to ourselves, we surrender to the cross, we ask Jesus into our lives, we're worshiping every day, or we're worshiping some days, and we start off hot and heavy. You know, we start off like we're after God with our whole heart. And then things come in, because life is difficult, and issues come, and then before you know it, we're like, kind of surrendering to God, and, I kind of read every day, and then, I just pray, and it just becomes these kind of bare essentials. And again, nothing wrong with any of those things. But the trap comes, and I think the warning comes, and the difficulty comes. A half surrender is no surrender at all. It's either full surrender, total surrender, or we might as well forget it. Because a half surrender is just no good. And here's the thoughts that run through my heart, and here's the thoughts that the Lord just put through my heart. If we only surrender to God, maybe in our Bible readings and our prayer, which is good, and our 1 hour on a Sunday, what do we do when Monday comes and something crazy takes place. What do we do? Because our lives at that point are not surrendered to God. We don't invite God into our lives at that place. Because that's kind of what we're doing practically. Whenever we surrender our lives to God, we're saying in every area, God, you come and take over. You come and have control. Not me anymore, it's you, Lord. So when we go to the gym, it's like, it's not me, Lord. Not that I go to the gym. But if you go to the gym, then you go, not me, Lord, but it's you that takes over. Or when you go to work, you say, right, Lord, this is your work. I surrender to you, so I'm working for you. I'm not actually working for my boss. Although I'm working for you more, Lord. And so we surrender every part of our lives. But I think sometimes what can happen, and it's really subtle, is that we do half surrenders because we start to take some things back in our lives. We start to worship God half of the time or some of the time or a part of the time, and then we just start to live our own ways. And a half surrender is no surrender at all. I wrote down a few things to challenge our hearts this morning. What do you do when pain and suffering comes, whenever you haven't surrendered all of that, all of your life to God? What do you do when pain and suffering comes? Because the God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly, if we're following after him, surrendered our lives to him, is able to work through us. But if we're not close to him, then what do we end up doing? Sometimes we end up blaming God. Why am I in this position? Why am I going through this? Because our lives are not surrendered in that area. We haven't allowed God into that area. We're not living for God in that area. And before you know it, then we start to blame God in the times when we need God. What do you do when loss happens? Jordan lost his granny this week. What do you do when loss happens? Because if you haven't surrendered your life to God in every area, when loss comes, then God, why do you do this to me? How am I supposed to get through this? This is too much for me. You should know this is too much for me, Lord. And the Lord says, I need you to surrender your life to me. I need you to welcome me into every area, because a half surrender doesn't quite cut it when life's difficult circumstances and life's difficult issues and life comes in full force into our being, into our rear, into our front view. We talked about view earlier. What happens when those things come in? And then we go, wow, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What am I supposed to do? And the Lord's plan was always this, is that we would offer our lives as a living sacrifice. That would be our true and proper worship. This is what we would do daily. We would surrender our lives. And then when the challenges come, when the issues come, when the difficulties come, what do? We say, Lord, what are we going to do this time? Lord, how are we going to get through? Lord, what's your next move? Lord, what are you going to do? Because the thing is, when I keep control, then we have to make the next move. We have to decide what to do. That's why we get cross. That's why we get hot and bothered, because we're in control. It's like, I can't believe this has happened. So we got to blame someone. But when we give total surrender to God, when we give total control to him, then we know, God, what's the next move? God's got something. God's going to do something. God's going to move through this. Church, this morning, we have to learn to totally surrender. I want to think of three things this morning. We've got to surrender to the Lord, because surrender goes deeper and deeper and deeper as our desire for him goes deeper and deeper. First one is our mind. Our mind is so vital, because our mind is the thing that's helping us to make decisions. You get that. Your mind is the thing that's helping you to listen at this moment or not, whatever you choose to do. Your mind is the thing that's going to help you to move forward and go, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. Maybe you're already thinking about your lunch, thinking about where am I going to go. That's a good thought. Your mind is going everywhere. But we know that our mind dictates what we do next, because we think these things up. We think it. Even our heart. Our heart is not here when we're thinking, oh, I love you in my heart. You don't love anybody in here. You love everybody up here. It's not real down here. This is just a pumping thing. Heart's up here. But there's two halves to us. Two halves in our mind. We've got this logical side, and then we've got the heart side. We're like, you know, I'm emotional. You know, I've got needs and all this. Then it's the logical side. You know, what's one-on-one make? And we think like that. And the Lord's here this morning saying, hey, I need to get your mind, because if I don't get your mind, I don't get your full attention. And I think when it comes to surrender, we've got to break it down. It's not just getting into a room with worship on and just saying, Lord, I surrender all to you. That's a good thing. But practically, how are we going to do that every day? We've got to surrender our minds to him. Because as we think is how we go, as we think. There are so many things that are trying to get our thinking. There's so many things that are trying to grab your attention. Probably your phone at this moment, maybe buzzing or alerting you if someone wants to get in contact with you. The Lord says, I want to get in contact with you too, but I want to transform your mind. The Lord wants to transform our minds, because our minds are vital. Second thing is this, our bodies. I think our bodies are absolutely crucial when it comes to the Lord. Because we're in a power struggle right now where we're trying to figure out, like, who owns our body? Like, which person owns our body? You know, like, if you die, are you giving your body parts away? I mean, if you're unborn, is, like, the person on the outside more important than the person on the inside? I mean, who owns your body? You know what the Lord says? Your body is a temple of the Lord. Your body is a temple of the Lord. He makes it really simple, really black and white. You're a temple of the Lord. And yeah, it's amazing how the enemy comes to trick us with our bodies. It's crazy. I mean, one of the most precious gifts that we have in marriage is when two couples come together, they have this wonderful gift called sex. And you're able to come together, and out of that, you're able to have kids. It's why I've got two. It's why you're alive. It's why you're alive. And yet it's planned for within marriage. But we have a responsibility over our minds and our bodies, because if we don't, then we give ourselves away in times and in places when we shouldn't. And God says, I have planned it for marriage. I have planned it for two people to come together. It'd be the most precious, amazing thing. And if we have made mistakes, then God's faithful and he's able to bring us back. But if we do, we've got to recognize that there could be brokenness in our mind and there could be brokenness in our body. So we have to surrender to come through. If we don't surrender to come through, do you know what we end up doing? We try to fix it ourselves. We try to fix all our own issues ourselves if we haven't surrendered them to him. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's something we've done. Maybe it's something we've said. Maybe it's regret. Maybe it's shame, whatever it is. But all of those things are unfixable unless we surrender them to God. We can attempt to fix them. We can try to make some fixes. May look like they're fixed. But the only person that can fix things truly is God himself. And the Lord says this morning, I need you to surrender in your mind, I need you to surrender your body. And then lastly, I need you to surrender in your will, because your will is really important. What will you do next? What is my desires, you know? Jesus kept saying over and over again, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Not my will. Like, that's incredible. Do we live like that every day? God says surrender looks like that. Your mind, your body. I give you my mind, Lord. I give you my body, Lord. I give you my will, Lord. I surrender my will to you. You know, the things that I really, really, really want to do. This, I want to go here. I want to go there. And the Lord says, no, surrender that to me and watch how I'll help you through. Any of those things sound easy? No, surrender is not easy. But through God's strength and through God's help, this is actually the way he has designed us to go. God is calling us to move forward. Here's what I love, what Isaiah 40:31 says. Can we read this one together? It says, but those who hope. We could replace hope for surrender, everything, total surrender. Those who give up everything to the Lord will renew their strength. You see, when we surrender, we get weak. This is what happens. When you surrender in battle, you become vulnerable. You give up everything. We got to realize this. When I surrender to God, I'm actually getting weaker. But as I get weaker, what does he do? He makes me stronger. Those who hope in the Lord, those who surrender everything to the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. How does that make any sense whatsoever? I mean, this is not real. Walk and not get faint. I mean, like, what does it say? Run and not get weary. I mean, we'd win every race. It'd be amazing. There'd just be no stopping us. But the Lord is saying this morning, our life is like a race. And we go from here to there, and we're going to end up, hopefully, all of us in eternity with Jesus. You've got to make a decision to make that happen, but I hope that you do. But if we're on the race for Jesus, we're on a race. We're running a race for the Lord. We're going here, there, and everywhere. And the Lord says, the more you surrender to me, the more I'll help you to run straight and true. The more you surrender to me, the more I'll enable you to run. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll just keep on going instead of fainting. You'll rise up on wings like eagles, and you will soar. Not even just fly, but soar. This sounds pretty good to me. Eagles don't even need to fly. They're so cool, they just soar. They just get up to the jet streams and they just soar. They're crazy cool. And this is what God has designed for us. Not struggle, 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 struggle. Now I know our lives are full of struggles, and I'm not saying that God's going to take away every struggle. But we've got to realize that spiritually God is causing us to soar even in the midst of storms. We read it many times, and we looked at it many times over this last few weeks. You can be in the storm, but don't worry, the storm does not define you. It's your identity in Christ that defines you. So even in the midst of the storm, what can you have? You can have peace. You can have peace. If you're in a storm this morning, you can have peace. We don't need the storm to end. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. That is amazing. If the Lord needs the storm to end, he will cause the storm to end. But if he doesn't, he will give you peace for the journey. And out of it, you will become stronger. Out of it, you will grow. Out of it, you will become more confident of the things of God. Out of it, you will become more in love with the Lord, and you will trust him with more. See, the Lord is bringing us through trials. He is bringing us through tests. And the way to overcome and the way to make it through is surrender, surrender, surrender. Surrender every part and every part of our lives to him, because look what he will do. He will cause us to rise. See, I think sometimes if we're not careful, instead of living a life of surrender, we're living a life of struggle. We're just struggling, 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 struggling. And we knew there's time and place of that, and we're going through that, but I mean just spiritually. We're just struggling all the time spiritually. We're just struggling. And the Lord says, I have planned for you to surrender. And as you surrender, I just keep lifting you up. I just keep encouraging you. Sometimes our physical circumstances don't change, but I'm lifting you up on the inside. I'm holding you. Even in the midst of you were in a physical prison, I'm causing you to be a free man. We read this over and over and over again, and it comes through surrender. Here's what happens when we struggle. When we struggle, it's the complete opposite of surrender. If you think about it, if you're surrendering, then it means you, or if you're struggling, then it means you still have some stuff with you. You still have some, I'm struggling to make it. I'm struggling to make this. I'm struggling to do this. I'm struggling. It means you're still thinking you can do some things. A person who's totally surrendered, what can they do? Nothing. They have nothing. They just got nothing. I mean, if we were playing Monopoly and I was beating you, and at the end of it I says, right, I've got you, then you got to give me all your hotels, you got to give me all your houses, you got to give me all your money. What have you got? Nothing. You've no struggling to do. You're fully surrendered. And this is what the Lord says this morning. We, because we have been made in his image, we can. We can take up some things again. We can start to fight again because we've been made, designed to keep surviving, designed to keep going. But we shouldn't do it with God. We should do that with life, but not with God. Because when we do that with God, what do? Is we start to pick up some junk again, and we start to struggle. We start to struggle in our faith. We start to struggle every day. We start to move forward and try to do things in our own strength again. And the Lord says, no. Whenever you surrender, what happens? You give me everything, and I work for you. Whenever you struggle, you're taking stuff back, you're holding some stuff, and you're thinking you've got something. And the Lord says, when you're totally and completely surrendered to me, you have nothing. Nothing. And it can be a relief this morning if you're struggling with heavy stuff. We have to give God control, but one of our biggest problems is we love control. We love control and we love certainty. We love it. I want to know what the outcome is. I won't be nervous if I know what's going to happen next. You know, ever thought that one? I mean, if I could just know the ending, then it'd be great. But what's happened is, and I think sometimes what we do is we go after the goal of certainty and the goal of control, and they're not goals. They're just byproducts of surrendering to Jesus. Because the more that I've surrendered to him, guess what? He's taken away my control of nature. He's taken away my freaking out nature. He's taken away my worrying nature. He's taken away my anxiety. He's taken away all the things. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do next. And the Lord says, don't worry. Surrender to me. I've got this. Because when we surrender, what do? We put ultimate trust in a good God, and we know he doesn't fail. Whenever I try to hold on to it, whenever I try to crave certainty, whenever I try to get certainty. Have you ever had certainty when it comes to things? I always laugh when it comes to, like, maybe you're looking certainty with your finance and you just get some money in. And it always seems to happen that something happens next where you need to put that money out again. It's like every time you think you're going to get certainty with your bank balance, something goes south. And then it goes north again and then it goes south again. It's incredible. The only person we're going to have certainty in is Jesus. Fix our gaze on him, author and finisher of our faith. Surrender everything to him. Watch how he provides certainty in our lives. Do you remember right back to the story, Genesis 22, the Lord showed up and he named himself, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord that provides. Even at your darkest hour, even at the time when you've got the knife raised that said that Abraham had the knife ready to go, even at that point, there's no turning back. And yet the Lord speaks and says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord who provides. We've got to realize this morning, church, we've got to know in our hearts that he is the one who provides in every way. So the struggle is not real. Surrendering is more real. Surrendering to God is more real. This is the word says. This is what the Lord says. My goal is to worship Jesus. And I thought about this. We'll be done in like 5 minutes, but I thought about sacrifice. I thought about, you know, sacrifice is part of surrender, isn't it? You got to sacrifice. But then I started to think about sacrifice, and I thought this. When have I ever truly sacrificed anything that God hasn't blessed me far more in return? I mean, it's crazy. It's really, really hard to do true sacrifice to God because he just keeps beating you with blessing. He's just incredible. He really does. Even in difficult seasons, it's like, I'm still breathing, you know? I'm still moving forward. There may be some hope that happens. Even in those dark seasons where you think, man, just nothing's going to change, nothing's going to happen, and then something just breaks, and you're like, wow, I couldn't have seen that coming. And I think, yes, sacrifice is part of surrender, but I want to blow a hole in sacrifice because I want to let you know that it's not sacrifice like what everybody else has to do. Our sacrifice to God, he always replenishes. He always restores. What does he say? Give up everything for my sake. Not only will you be blessed in this life, but you'll be definitely blessed in the next. What does he say? You give up anything for my name's sake. Even if you don't get blessed in this life, don't worry about it. You're going to get super blessed in the other life. I've got so much for you. Hey, I know that there'll be sacrifices. Job knew what sacrifice was, but the Lord restored all to him. The Lord says this morning, don't let sacrifice scare you because I'm a good God. And no matter what I would require you to give up, I'll supply 10 times, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. I will supply it over and over and over and over again. The enemy wants to lie to us. Don't sacrifice to your God. He's just tick, tick, tick. No, he's tick, tick, tick. And lie, lie, lie. Our God is give, give, give. And there are times when he requires from us. And there are times when he says, will you give me this? Will you give me that? But as we do, he's already got a plan in motion to give back to us because he's such a good God. We can never, think about this, there is no way to ever outgive God. You can never do it. You can never do it. Anybody ever given more than God's given you back in return? And if you say yes, then you need to let the rest of the story pan out. There's still more to come. You're still alive. God's still got more for you. And truly, we'll never know till we get to eternity. We will never know. What does Jesus say? I've got to go because I go to prepare a place for you. There are mansions that are being built for you right now. Think about this. I don't know if you're happy with your home or happy with your car or happy with the place that you live, but the mansion's being built right this moment. It is being built. There are angels that are building the mansion for you. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Surrender everything you've got. It's okay to think about that. It's okay to think about it. I'm going to be with Jesus and I'm going to live in a mansion and it's going to be far and above what I've ever imagined or thought. It's just going to be good. It may be made in gold. I don't know. But it's going to be amazing because the Lord is so faithful. He is so good. I believe this morning the Lord is calling us to surrender. I believe this morning the Lord wants to bring us afresh to a place of surrender. And I wrote down a few things to think about. I, Lord, want to surrender my dreams. Anybody got dreams this morning? I hope that you do. But if you don't, then it's going to be easier for you. If you do, then this is going to be harder. But surrender is not always easy. But Lord, I want to surrender my dreams to you. I want to surrender my dreams to you because I don't want, here's what I'm really saying, I don't want my dreams to get in the way of you. I don't want it to. I want to surrender my career. I want to surrender, oh my goodness, could we do this? I want to surrender my money to you. Now, I'm not saying that because in a few weeks' time I might ask you to give to next door, but I'm not saying because of that. Maybe half of it. No, I'm not saying because of that. I'm saying because it's just Jesus sense. Did you know that what some of the, let's say, even the top three things that Jesus spoke about, in the top three, what do you think it would be? Money was right up there. Money was right up there. Because he knows that one of the hardest things to do is surrender our money. He meets the rich man. The rich man wants everything Jesus has. And then Jesus says, he pushes the boat out and he says, okay, give me everything you've got. In other words, what he asks him, he says, surrender. The man says, I can't do that. Is there no way I can buy this thing? Is there no way I can pay for this thing? And Jesus says, no, there's no way. There's no way. And guys, I want to encourage you this morning that there is a degree to which we worship and it's based upon how much we surrender. And if we want to worship the Lord more, if we want to go deeper into his presence, if we want to get step further into those inner courts, those holy of holies, then it comes down to our surrendering. Surrender our dreams. Surrender my money. That's painful. Surrender my money is painful because I earned this thing. This is my money. I'm not surrendering for no man. And we can think of all the different reasons. But we have the job because the Lord has blessed us. We're able to work because the Lord has given us the health. We're alive because he has enabled us to be here. The Lord has done great things for us. We've got to surrender everything. I want to surrender my plans. I want to surrender my desires. I need to surrender my life. I need to surrender my kids. I need to surrender my family. There could be people in your life. There could be people in your family who are not saved. And the hardest one for you to do would be to surrender them to the Lord. Maybe you've done that and it's brought you relief. Then encourage some other guys here this morning because sometimes the hardest is to surrender the things that are most precious to us. And our loved ones are the most precious. And so we think, I cannot let that one go, God. I've got to keep struggling with that one. I've got to keep praying with that one. And the Lord says, no, give me the most precious thing that you've got. And trust me, because surrender is trust. And as we surrender, God, we worship him. And remember what he does. He elevates us. He lifts us up. Surrender is so good. I want us to think about this, and then we're nearly done. Surrender comes from a military term. It's a military term from the idea of one army meets another army, and that army that's greater than the other one says, you better surrender to me, because if you don't, we're going to beat you. That's really what's happening. And either you find it out at the start, and you go, oh my goodness, get the white flags up, we want to live, we want our lives to be spared, or we figure it out at the end when half of our life has been destroyed, when half our men have been destroyed, and we're like, oh, we might better surrender quickly. But the jeopardy of a military surrender is this, is that if we surrender our lives to the other person, will they keep us alive or not? Will they make us slaves or not? What will they do with us or not? That's the reality of a military surrender. That's where the term comes from. But God redefines the term like he does with many things. He says, you can trust me. You can give up to me. This is why it's so sweet. Surrender with God. Think about this for a moment. Surrender to God is ultimate freedom. It's ultimate freedom. The Lord says, I want to keep you free. I've bought your freedom, and I want to keep you free. As you surrender more and more to me, what are you in reality doing? You're making yourself more free. You're stepping more and more into your freedom. So the biggest thing you worry about on a Monday, surrender it to God. The biggest thing that you're concerned about, whether it's your mortgage, whether it's repayments, surrender it to God. Let him enable you. And as you do, what does it do? It makes you free. You're like, wow, I didn't know how good it would be to give something away. You're not giving up. We're taught all the time, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. You're not giving up when you surrender to God. When you give up to an enemy, that's what you're doing. You're giving up for the hope of life. When we surrender to God, what are we saying? We're saying, God, take over. Take over, because I can't do this life. I've tried, I've struggled, I've attempted, even as a Christian, I've tried to keep going, I've tried to keep doing this, I've tried to pray every day, I've tried to read every day, I've tried to go forward. It is relentless, it is difficult, it is too hard. And the Lord says, you're not giving up, you're just giving over control. Give over your life to me and watch what I will do through you. Ultimate surrender is ultimate freedom. He brings us from death to life. I mean, we don't surrender like in the army days, in the army, and they surrender to another army with fear of life. They go from living to the fear of death. We go from death to the wonder of life. This is why our surrender is so sweet to God. This is why our surrender to Jesus is so great. The more that we surrender to him, the more it affects our lives. Now, in a military term, the more that you would surrender to the enemy, the more it would likely affect your life in a negative sense. But when it comes to God, the more that you surrender your life to him, the more it affects you in a positive sense. He just keeps lifting you. He keeps encouraging you. He keeps moving you forward. He keeps reminding you. He keeps refining you. He keeps calling you. He keeps moving you. The more that we surrender to God, the more it transforms us. Listen to this. Before, if we were thinking military terms, you go from potential winners to losers. When we surrender to Jesus, what happens? The reality is this. We go from losers with no hope to heirs with Christ. Unbelievable. The more that we surrender to him, what happens? The more we step into our sonship, the more we step into our daughtership, the more we step into our identity in God. Lisa talked about it earlier in our team time, said identity is crucial. It absolutely is. The more that we surrender our lives, what do? We move from losers to triumphant. We move from losers to victors in Christ because he has won the battle. He has defeated the enemy. See, surrender is not like the world where we give up and we lose. Surrender to God is win. Surrender to God is uplifting. Surrender to God is incredible. Surrender is so sweet. I get to give over everything to him. I get to trust him, and he cannot fail. God is amazing.